We're going to start on the bottom of, actually we'll start on the top of Nun Amud Aleph, Erev Daf Nun Amud Aleph, but just as a way of background, remember we just started the sugya about a person that, the sugya before, we just did a Mishnah that said if you have a person who's traveling, and he's more than 2,000 amas away from where he wants to end up at the end of the day, and he's familiar with the fact that somewhere in the middle, where within 2,000 amas of where he's standing is a tree, a fence, or something like that, a location, an identifiable location. So if he goes ahead and identifies that point and says, I want to really be there as my shvisa, as my mokim that I want to be before for Shabbos, so then the Mishnah says that works. However, we're going to deal with the case where he doesn't identify the exact location of where he wants to spend Shabbos properly. So the Mishnah says that if he doesn't identify it properly, lo yomar klum. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. So the Gemara on the bottom of Mem Tesamid Abay says that you have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, which we're going to get back to in a minute. But just to lay out the facts, Rav says lo yomar klum is literally he doesn't have anything, which is understood simply that he has no mokum shvisa whatsoever, because he's saying that I don't want to be where I'm standing right now, and he also hasn't identified where he wants to be, so he's nowhere. That's Rav's shita. Shmuel said that he does have a makom, and there's two pshatim in Rashi exactly where his makom is. Remember, the case of the Mishnah is that there's a tree with a lot of branches that take up a large area. So Shmuel says that either Rashi's second pshat is that he's as if he's in both places, meaning where he's standing now, and he's also somewhere underneath the tree, so he can go in between the tree and where he's standing. And the other possibility is that he's somewhere under the tree exactly, either close to where he's standing, further away from where he's standing, but he's definitely, again, he hasn't gotten a specific place of where he's going to be for Shabbos. So based on that, that's all based on the fact that the Mishnah says, Lo Yomar Klum. So Omar Rabba, my time of the Rav. So Rabba says, what is the reasoning behind Rav that says that he's nowhere? So the Gemara says very simply, Mishum Delay Mesayimi. Mesayim Asra, he didn't pick a specific place to be, so he doesn't have a makom shvisa. He has no place to identify as where he is, so he only has da'ar amas as if he's out of tchum completely. Ve'ikda amri amar rabba my time at the rabba. Another version of this story is, what's the reasoning behind rab that says he's nowhere? Mishum de kosaver kol she'ein b'zeh achar zeh afilu b'vas achas einoy. Because we're going to use an example, we're going to use the logic that if it didn't work to establish a second place, then even if he establishes both places at the same time, neither of them are going to work. Let me give you an example that we're the simplest, I think, case to understand this, not a case that our Gemara uses, but just one to illustrate the point. If I go over to a woman, and I marry her, I'm married to Rachel. If I were then to go over to her sister, Leah, and try to marry her sister, everybody would agree that the Kedushin to Leah would not work, because that's the case of Bezeh Acher Zeh. Once I'm married to one girl, one sister, I cannot marry the second sister. Therefore, the halacha that the Gemara is referring to over here is that if I try to marry both of those sisters at the same time together, neither of them is going to work. The whole business is not going to be chal, because if I was married to one and I try to marry the second one, everybody would agree that the second one is not married. So too, if I try to marry both of them at the same time, just like the second one is not married in this case, neither of them are going to be married. Now, that's the very simple case that we all can understand and relate to. So now let's apply it to Hilchos Erevin, and the Gemara is going to continue with a couple other examples. In Erevin, it's the same way. If I am in a particular place, I have a location, so then that's where I am. If I were then to go and try to establish myself in a second place, I can't be in two places at the same time. So therefore, the second place will not be chal. If so, similar to the same way, my second marriage won't be chal. I can't be in a second place. I can't consider that second place my mokum shvisa. So too, if I therefore try to establish both of those places at the same time, none of them are going to be chal. Just like if I try to marry two sisters at the same time, neither one of them is married to me. So too, none of those places are going to be chal. So that's what the Gemara is saying in a very simple way. If it wouldn't be chal one after the other, if the second place wouldn't be considered my makom, so therefore even if I try to do them at the same time, neither one of those are going to be chal, and therefore that's why Rav says that I don't have a makom at all. Now, so in any case, either way, Rav said that he doesn't have a makom. Elamai benayu. So what is going to be the difference between these two pshatim? Either way, I don't have a place. When I answer Zikah benayu, the Amar likni li ba'arba amos migoy shmoina. If he says, no, I only want 4 amas out of the 8. We'll see later that the case is that the tree is only 8 amas wide. So he says, I want to be So I want to be in any one of the four amos, but within the eight. So he says clearly that he doesn't want the whole eight. He only wants four. So the Gemara says, "Man de amar mishum d'loy misayin atre." If it's the reason because I didn't pick a specific spot, d'loy misayin atre. In this case also, I didn't say which specific four I want. I didn't say where I want to be. So therefore, I'm going to be. I don't have a place. "Man de amar." If the reason is because it can't work as a second place, I can't get a second place, but as the first place it works, this, when he says I want to be in those four amos, even if he didn't say which four amos, he clearly says that he doesn't want two sets of four amos, he only wants one set. It's not like he's trying to marry a second sister, he just hasn't decided which one of the two sisters he wants to marry. So too over here. I haven't decided which place, but it's not shot that I want two places. Two places doesn't work. I haven't decided which one of the four amos I want, but I only want one set of four amos. In that case, I'll decide later, maybe Yesh Breir or whatever it is, but that four amos, I'm limited to four amos, that's going to work. Okay, so that's this far. Now, the Gemara is going to go off now and discuss how does this concept of Bezeh Hazeh, does it really work, that therefore if I try to do them at the same time it doesn't work at all. Gufa. So the Gemara brings the case again. Amar Rabba, kol davar she'ein Bezeh Hazeh, afilu b'vasach hazeinoi. If it doesn't work one after the other, the second one isn't chal, so then they don't work together at all, neither of them is chal. Eisvei Abaye l'Rabba. So now Abaye asks a question to Rabba. Hamar b'vamaisris peiroisov. If a person gives too much maaser, very interesting halacha, we tend to think that the more tzedakah, which we consider, we look at like maaser, the better. However, when you're dealing with actually being mafresh, real maaser from peiros, the maaser deraisa, there's a very interesting law, rule, that you cannot give more, it's not chal, more than 10%. It has to be exactly 10%. So what happens if a guy takes more than 10%, more than the allotted 10%, So the halacha is, and I'm just going to use these numbers for purpose of this year. The halacha, let's say I have 100 apples. So maaser is supposed to be 10 apples. So if I take 10 apples, everything is perfect. What happens is my 10 apples that I took are maaser, and the 90 apples which I left are considered chulin. Before I took it, all 100 apples were considered tavel. They're all also to eat. Now that I took 10 are maaser, 90 are chulin. So my example now, when instead of taking 10 apples, which would be the perfect amount, I took 11 apples. So what is the din? So we say like this, peiros of misukanim, the Braisa finishes off and says that the rest of the peiros, in this case, the 89 peiros are all good, they're chulin, they're fine, because I took maiser from them. However, umaisrois of mukukolim, by maisers, my 11 that I took as maiser, they're going to be messed up. Why? As Rashi explains, because what I really have here is I have 10 apples that are maiser, and one apple, which is not maaser, because as we explained, you can't take more than 10%, that one apple never had maaser taken from it, because it was taken as maaser. So therefore, that 11th apple is still tevel, and now you have tevel and maaser mixed together, so that's why the Mishnah says, or the Braisa says, that you have maaserois of mukukolim, that the maasers are messed up. Because I don't know which apple I can eat, because I don't know which apple is really the one that's no good. So now, the problem is, according to the logic that we just said, everybody would agree, the Gemara says, Amai, why does that work? So just like everybody would agree, if I went ahead and I took 10 apples, and I made them maaser, I'm finished. And then I had 90 apples left, and I stuck my hand into the 90 apples, and I pulled out one more apple, and I said, oh, this one also is maaser. Everybody would agree that 11th apple would be nothing. There would be no chalois on that apple whatsoever. It would be regular chulin, no problem. So why is it that when I took all 11 at the same time, why is it all chal? Just like we understood when I marry two women, I'm not married to either of them. The whole chalois didn't happen. So why does the Mishnah tell me here that I have maaser and tevel mixed together? What it should say is the whole maaser didn't work. Even the chulin part, even the 89 apples should be messed up right now. It shouldn't have been chal at all, because since it doesn't work one after the other, it shouldn't work at all at the same time. And I took 11 at the same time, so nothing should have been chal. Why is it that the first, even the 90 or the 89 apples are good, and I'm considered having 10 plus 1. So the Gemara says, Shani Maiser de Isa L'chatzoin. Maiser has a slightly, you're right, the rule is still correct, but Maiser works a little bit differently because I could take it in portions. And the Gemara gives an example. The Omar Tiktosh Palga de Chitzei Kitcha. If I say that I want half of it to be chal, half of it is chal. Meaning, if I went ahead and I said like this, let's say I'm supposed to take 10 apples, and I wanted to, instead I took 20 apples as maaser. So what am I saying by definition? This is the way Rashi explains it. What I'm saying is that I want, instead of 10 whole apples and another 10 apples as maaser, what I'm saying is I want 20 halves. which 20 halves is 10. If I want to, I could take it in portions. Or another example, Rashi doesn't give this example, but let's say I took only 5 at a time. I could take 5, and that works. And then I could take another 5 later. Also, I can get there. I can get there in portions. I don't have to give. It's not pshat. It's whatever I take, that percentage of it really works as meiser in contrast or relative to the amount of chulin that I need to take. So therefore, it's true, really, once I have meiser. I cannot take more. However, the way we make it work is, or the way the Torah says that it works, is that whatever I take is proportionate to the amount of what I have to redeem. And therefore, if I took too much, what I ended up taking is I took out 10/11 of every apple. So every apple has in it the meiser portion, proportionately the ratio that it needs, plus it has a little bit of the ratio that it doesn't need. And that's why it gets messed up, but that's why it works, because you could take a portion, you don't have to take full amounts. It's not like by a woman, you can't be mekadesh a half a woman. I mean, the Gemara has a good discussion about that, but it doesn't work. So therefore, it's either all or nothing. By meiser, I don't have to do an all or nothing. I could take an apple, and only a portion of that apple is going to be meiser, so therefore it works. So the Gemara says, if so, that you have a special case by meiser, that it works in portions, v'harei meiser behemet d'leso l'chatzoyim. I'll give you another example of animals. When I take an animal as meiser, that doesn't work in portions. In that case, taka, it is an all or nothing. The case over there is, I have to count my sheep at the end of the year, or any other animal that has these halachas, meiser behema, and I have to take the 10th animal as they walk through the fence. I set up a system that every 10th animal I strike with a red stick, and it's identified that animal becomes meiser behema. So now the halacha is, though, if I make a mistake, or the Gemara is going to give an example, that works, that I could have more than one animal as the meiser. Now that doesn't work, because it's all or nothing. So how could I possibly have two animals that are meiser behemoth? How could I have more than one, or because it can't be a portion of them, it has to be both. And it should, according to our logic, it shouldn't work at all. Neither of them should become meiser behemoth. As the Gemara explains, the Omar, I don't know what, Rava, Yatsu Shnayim Ba'asira. Let's say, it's supposed to be set up so that only one animal can walk through the fence at a time, or walk through the gate at a time. What happens if somehow two squeezed in at the same time, and I called the Karam Asiri, and I called both of them the tenth? So, again, according to our logic, it should be that neither of them are Chal. However, the Braisa continues and says, Asiri ve'acharasar mu Ravim ze'bezeh. Now you have the 10th and the 11th. One of them is the 10th, and one of them is the 11th, and they're mixed ones together, and Rashi goes through what happens. The Meiser, you bring one as a carbon Meiser, one as a carbon Shlomim, and you bring Nusachim, and so on and so forth. But the point is that the halacha is that it's Chal. So why should it be Chal, according to what we're saying? Everybody agrees that once I made one Meiser, then if I took the 11th one and called it Meiser also, it wouldn't work. So why does it work if you have two animals coming through at the same time? So the Gemara answers, Shani Meiser Behem, it also has a different rule. The Isa B'Zeach is that it does sometimes work that the one after the 10th can also have a Chalais on it, but tell you if I did it incorrectly, the Tanan, because here's the case. It is a Mishnah that says, Kar L'Tshi Yasiri. So I'm supposed to be counting 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, and I made a mistake, and I got to number 8, and instead of saying, I went 8, 10. Instead of calling it number 9, I called L'Tshi Yasiri. I called the 9th one, I called that number 10. So then, Ula Asirichi, and then I said, ooh, whoops, I went out of order, so I called the 10th one number 9. Ula Acharasar Asirichi, and then I said 9, so there must be the next one is 10. So I ended up calling, there's two animals, the 9th and the 11th, that I called them the 10th, and then there's the 10th one, which I called the 9th, but it really is the 10th. So now you have three animals that are possible, potential, and a potential 10th Meiser Behemoth. So what's the halacha? The Mishnah says, it's a Mishnah, Shloshan Mekudashin. All three of them are Mekudash. All three of them have a level of Kedusha. And they're all Chal. They all have a level of Kedusha. And it works. Whatever, exactly how you bring the Korbanos, one is a Shlomim, one is a... and one of the Meiser, and so forth. But the point is that since the Torah itself gave that possibility, it's based on Drasha and the Pasuk, so the Torah itself gave that possibility that you could end up with more than one animal that has the chalois of Meiser Behema on it, so therefore it works, even though it shouldn't. Even though when I did it at the same time, one after the other, if I did it correctly, it wouldn't work, since the Torah gives it the possibility that more than one could be chal. So it's not like the case of, let's say, Kedushin, where it's impossible to have two sisters at the same time. It's not possible. But by Meiser Behema, it is possible that sometimes you can have two animals that have the same chalois Meiser Behema on them. So therefore, over here also, if they happen at the same time, it will be chal. So Gemara says, okay, I'll give you another example. B'harei toida de lesser betois. So you just told me that the reason is because sometimes if I did it by accident, it works. The case of a carbon toida, which is by lechem, I have to bring a certain amount of lechem to go with the carbon toida. Now that doesn't work betois. And also the lesser b'zeachazet, meaning if I separated my 40 lachmois, and then I try to separate another set of 40 lachmois, it wouldn't work. And somehow, if I did it at the same time, it works. And why? The itmar, and we learned, toida sheneshchata al shmoinim chalois. If I have a carbon toida that I, instead of bringing 40 chalois, I ended up bringing 80, which is double. So now, what do I do? Are those chalois chal? Chizkiya amar kachu Allah mem mitach shmoinim. Chizkiya says that 40 out of those 80, we don't know which 40 yet, but 40 out of the 80 work. Rabbi Yechanan amar like kichu Allah mem mitach shmoinim. Rabbi Yechanan says it doesn't work at all. Even the 40 don't work. Now the problem is, so according to Chizkiya, how would those 40 work? How did those 40 out of the 80 work if they're not identified? And everybody agreed the second 40, if I had a set 40 and then added another 40, it wouldn't work. So why does it work by Taida? When I answer, it's my Allah, we also learned an exception over there. Amar Avzeira, Hakol Moidim, Hechada Amar Liktishu Arboyim Mitoich Shemayim Dekichu. Everybody would agree that if I wanted to get only 40, and I said 40 out of the 80, similar to the way I said I want 4 out of the 8 Amas, everybody would agree that that works. I'll identify which 40 later. Let's say I say I only want the first 40 to be chal, as long as the second 40 are also chal, meaning I want all 80 to mamish be kachim. So everybody would agree that doesn't work because there's no such thing as a carbon toida with 80 chalas. It only has a carbon toida with 40. So what is the machlekes chizki and Rabbi Yochanan ki pligi b'stama? Where I didn't say what exactly I want. So marsav elachray is kamachavin. So Rabbi Chizkiya says, when I brought 80, I was trying to say that if for some reason I lost the first 40, I want the second 40 there as a backup. And I made it as a tanai that if I don't have the first 40, I should have the second 40 in its place. And that's why it works. Omar Sova, look, carbon gobble, kamachabin, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, when I brought 80, I taka meant it as 80, and everybody agrees that 80 doesn't work. So therefore, in this case also, even though I didn't say it, it meant for all 80 to be chal, so it's not going to be chal. Again, it's a special halacha, it's a different case over here. It's not actually even a special halacha. Over here, you actually only wanted 40, and that's why it's going to be chal. It's similar to the way, if I agreed, it's not the zechazah, I never wanted all 80, I only wanted 40. Amar Abaya. So now Abaya is going back to explain Rav. Says, remember, we discussed how big was the branches, how far did they expand? What is this case over here that he didn't identify exactly where he wants to be underneath the tree? So Rav Abaya says, when Rav said it didn't work, the problem is because it's 12 amas across, which is too wide. If the tree doesn't even have 12, it has less than 12, it makes a space. So then, wherever he wants to be, he'll always be in that area. So let's think about it. 12 amas, you're supposed to have only 4 amas. 12 amas divides exactly into 3 sets of 4. So you have 4 in the beginning, 4 in the middle, 4 at the end. Top, bottom, top, middle, and bottom. Let's talk about it that way. So the middle, so I could be in any one of those 4 amas, which has nothing to do with any one of the other 4 amas, so then it's going to be a problem, because I don't know where I want to be. However, if it's less than 12, if there's only 11, so a little bit of the top will overlap in the middle, and a little bit of the bottom will overlap in the middle. So if I say that I want to be in the middle, either way, whichever one I really wanted to be in, whether it's top or bottom, I still have a little bit of that 4 amas, so therefore it's going to be chal. So if the tree is only 11 amas across, it's not going to be a problem. However, Maskefa Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna asked a question. So you're saying that that's considered an identifiable place because I definitely want to be in the middle, because the middle one definitely covers whichever side I want to be, top or bottom. So who says you want to be in the middle? Maybe I really wanted to be on the bottom, which means that I have nothing to do with the middle and nothing to do with the other side. So why, even though it's a drop of overlap, but it doesn't prove that I necessarily want to be there. And therefore, it's still considered an unidentified place. Ela Amar Rav Huna, gives a slightly different pshat. The Rav Yeshua lo yishanu ela ve'ilan shetachtav ches amos. The case is, the reason why Rav said it didn't work is because the tree had 8 amos across. Aval be'ilan shetachtav zayin amos. But let's say the tree only had 7 amos across. Hare mixos beisai nikar. Here, my house, meaning where I wanted to end up eventually, is definitely within, no matter which side of the tree I wanted to be. Because even if I want to take the bottom of the tree, the bottom area, which is what we consider the place close closest to where he's standing now. Part of that is already within 2,000 amos of where he wants to be. So it doesn't matter anymore which, because it's only 7 across, so there's an amma overlap, whether I take the bottom 7, the bottom 4, or the top 4. I definitely wanted to be in the middle one, so I definitely have that middle amma that's identifiable, and whether I want to be a little bit to this side, a little bit to that side, is not that far off, because either way, I'm going to be within my 2,000 amos from where I want to be, my house. So therefore, it's definitely considered enough of an area that's identifiable. So that means the case that Rav says that it doesn't work is only talking about where there's at least an 8 amma across, diameter across the size of the tree. So now, if I want to be in the bottom 4 ammas, it has nothing to do with the top 4 ammas, so I am not in a Mokum Mesuyim at all. Okay, so that's the case that we're talking about. Now the Gemara goes back into the prove either Rav or Shmuel's theory. Tanya Kavosu de Rav, Tanya Kavosu de Shmuel. We're going to prove that a Brisa like Rav, that I have no Mokum Shvisa, and it also proves like Shmuel that maybe I do have a Mokum Shvisa, and I just don't know which one. Tanya Kavasa Zerah, first I'll bring a braisa that shows like Rav that I don't have a makam at all. Nisha Baba Derech, somebody who was traveling, V'choshcholoy, and it got dark, V'hoya Makir Ilan Ageda, this is similar to our case in the Mishnah, and he recognizes a tree or a fence that's somewhere along the way. V'amar Shvisasi Tachtav, and he says, I want to be underneath the tree. So the braisa says very clearly, Lo Yamar Klum, I didn't say anything. So that doesn't prove anything, because that's the same thing as our Mishnah. Avalim Amar Shvisasi B'moka Imploini, but if he says, I really want to be in that specific place, Mahalech Ad Shemagiyel Oisei Mokum, I get to that place. Then that without a problem. Hegiel Oisei Mokum, and when I get to that specific, let's say the bark or the trunk of the tree, when I get to that place, Mahalech Es Kuloi, I can go the whole distance of that area. Let's say it's a house. I want to be in that shed. So I go the whole distance of the head, V'hutzala Apai Mama, and I get to go outside of that shed, the other side of the shed, another 2,000 amos, because that whole shed became my Mokum, that became where I want to be. However, here's the point. That's all talking about where I have a specific identifiable place. Because I want to be in a tower, a tail is like a little mountain that has 10 tefachim high. Right, and the area, the house, the shed that I want to be in, or this area is less than two sa. It's anywhere a distance of 4 amos to 2 sa. V'chein bika or a valley shehu amuka asar, which is also 10 amos deep, which means it's identified as its own place. V'humi dalad amos v'ad beis asayim, and again that the area, the open area that's surrounded with a wall, that's considered the makay. That's your place. Av mokum she'em esayim, but if it doesn't have an exact place, ein loy ela dalad amos. This is the raya to Rav. Then it only has. Then you only have dalad amos, because he doesn't have a specific place. So the way Rashi explains this whole braisa is talking about like this, that the case was that you're in a valley, that within the valley itself it has a walled-in area as part of the valley. So if there is no walled-in area, or if the walled-in area is too big, so that's the case that Rav is saying that you don't have a mokim at all. However, if you have within the valley itself a mokim, a place that has its own, a case of a shed, or it has a fenced-in area, a garden, or whatever it is, that's less than 2 saw wide, you could use that as your mokim, and then that entire, since it's fenced in, that entire area becomes your dalet amos. But the point is the end of the braisa, which says that if it's too big, if it's more than 2 saw, so then it's too big, so then I don't even have those dalet amos. I have nothing. I have only my own dalet amos where I'm standing, which is exactly Rav Shita. To finish off the braisa says, Hayu Shnayim. If there were two people traveling together, Echad Makir v'Echad Sheinu Makir, one guy actually knows his way around and he knows there's a place that they could use, and one person doesn't know where it is, says Sheinu Makir, Moshe Shvisas to the Makir. The person who doesn't know how to identify the place, he can say, you know what, you identify the place for me, and that works. He can, in other words, give over his, he can be mafker his rishos to the person who knows where he's going. And then the makir, the person who knows where he's going, can say, yeah, I want to be in that specific place, again, next to the tree or so forth. Shakava, where he has a dalet amos specifically that it can be set as a place, it's identified, it has a wall around it, right? So then it works. Avaloisim dalet amos, shakava. But if he doesn't have a specific place that is kavua in its place, meaning it has it has a fence around it, or it has some place that's less than two sa, la yozuz mimekaymoy. So then you're not allowed to walk even out of your own Dalet Amos. Once again, this proves Rav Shita, that if I didn't pick a proper place, if I didn't identify either because it's not a place that I could use because it's more than two saw, or I didn't identify it specifically in a way that it is considered deemed Dalet Amos, so then I don't get anything. I don't get where I am because I gave that up, and I don't get that place either because that's not a place that I could use as my Mokoyim Shvisa, which is exactly Rav Shita, that I have no place to be. So if so, lema tahavet yifta de Shmuel. So it should slug up Shmuel. It should go against Shmuel Shita, which was that even if I identify not a perfect place, so I have somewhere in that area, especially according to Rashi's first shot, where it's somewhere under the tree. I don't know exactly where under the tree. So if I didn't identify someplace in the valley perfectly, well, fine, I'm somewhere in the valley. One of those Dalet Amos in the valley is good. It should work for me. So this Brisa that says it doesn't work at all should go exactly against Shmuel. So Shmuel will say, no, Hachav b'mayas kina kugoyin de'ikom imokim raglov vad ikaroi trey alfi v'arbar gamidish. Shmuel says, no, the case over here was very specific, that I am standing in a place where I am right now is exactly 2,000 amos away, and plus 4 amos away from the trunk of the tree. So I have the exact right amount to get to the tree. However, the other side of the tree is already outside of my tchum. So the imukmas love idchisa. So now, since I didn't identify where I want to be under the tree, it's possible what I meant was, since the whole tree is a possibility, it's possible that I ended up identifying or meant to identify someplace that was outside of my tchum, more than 2,000 amas away. And therefore, that's why in this case, Shmuel will agree that in that case, I agree, I have nothing. Because then in that case, what happens is, I have to assume the worst case scenario, which is that I identified a Dalet Amos, which was more than 2,000 amas away, and now I have nothing. Because it comes out that the place that I identified is more than outside of my tchum. And that's why even Shmuel will agree that if I did that, I identified a place that's more than 2,000 amas away, I have nothing. So if I pick the specific Dalet Amos Matzah Ozel, so now I can go there, because those Dalet Amos, I'm assuming, are within my tchum, so I can go there. But if I didn't pick a Dalet Amos Matzah Ozel, I can't go. I can't go there because it's possible that my Dalet Amos are now outside of my tchum. And that's why even Shmuel will agree that if I did pick a place that's outside of my tchum, or there's a possibility that my place is outside of my tchum, then I have nothing. And even he'll agree to Rav that I only had Dalet Amos. Now let's continue. Tanya Kavosu de Shmuel, but let's see a raya the other way, like Shmuel Shita, that if I pick the place, that I can be identified as if I'm in both places. Tov the Erev Vashtei Ruchais. So let's say a person has no idea, he doesn't know Hilchos Erevin properly, and you know what? Friday night he really wants to go to the left, and Shabbos afternoon he wants to go to the right. So he ends up making two separate Eruvin. Kimaduma Hushama Arvin Loy Vashtei Ruchais, or he thinks, either he did it, or he thinks he can make an Erev in two different directions. Or he tells, he has two different slaves. He tells one slave, go all the way to the north, and one slave, go all the way to the south, and they made an Erev for him. One went all the way north, and one went all the way south. So now the halacha of this price is, Mahalach Litzafan Keiruv Ledarm. I could go in the north direction as far as my southern Erev will allow me. Uledarim, and I can go in the southern direction, Keiruv Eletofen, as far as my northern Eruv will allow me. Because in this case, I don't want to be in a house. I want to be in one of these two Eruvim. So I have to assume that each one of those Eruvim are Chal, and therefore I only have 2,000 Amos, since I thought both were Chal, that I have 2,000 Amos from the further one away. The Emitzoi, and if I made, and each one of those, the north and the south Eruv, each one exactly 2,000 Amos away, as far as they can go, the mitzvah of esatchum, they use the entire distance, lo yazaz mimekoymoy, then I can't move anywhere, because I'm not in my house, so my house gets nowhere. Now, if we held like Rav Shita, that I didn't go anywhere, that my Erev wasn't chal, so then at least I'd have my house, and we would say that my Dalet Amos, I have my house, my house becomes my tchum, that's what Rav would say. I measure my 2,000 amas even possibly from my house. But the fact that we say that I can't move anywhere, what does that prove? That proves that I am someplace else. That I'm not, that I'm, where those, I have to take into consideration that the other Erev is chal, or even bigger. If the two Eruvim, let's say as Rashi uses the example, each one is only 1,000 amas away from my house, I'm able to travel between the two Eruvim, because the two Eruvim, one all the way to the north is 1,000, all the way to the south is 1,000, that's, between the two of them is only 2,000 amas, and I'm able to travel the entire 2,000 amas distance between them. So therefore is a raya that, like Shmuel says, according to Rashi, that I have two places that are considered my tchum, and I can travel in between those two tchumim. Oh, if so, lema tahavati if the Rav. That's exactly against Rav that says that I don't get, if I pick two tchumim, I get nothing. And here it seems to say that since I can travel between the two tchumim, it's a raya that I get both of them. So the Gemara answers, you're right, Rav Tanahu Polig. You're right, this braisa is not going to work out according to Rav, and the Gemara says this in a number of places, that Rav, even though he functioned as an amoira, and his machlekes was in the context of arguing on shitas that the Amoraim discussed. However, he lived in a generation that overlapped, and he therefore was able to argue on the braisa. So this braisa will not work out according to Rav, because this braisa clearly indicates that he has two places where his erev is chal, and he gets to walk in between them. And if according to Rav's shita, what should end up happening is they should have nothing, and they shouldn't even be able to walk out of his dalet amos. Okay, we're going to stop over here because this is just an introduction to the next Gemara.